The song of the city was long. There were verses about streets of light and walls of stone, about citizens with sturdy hearts, about stored abundance never ending. Not true, Lina thought. But at last, the song of the city wound down to its end. The singers held the final note, which grew softer and softer. And then there was silence again. Lina looked out at the lighted streets, spreading away in every direction, the streets she knew so well. She loved her city, worn out and crumbling though it was. She looked up at the clock, 3:10. Dune would be getting ready to leave for the pipeworks. She didn't know whether he'd seen her being captured. If he had, he would be wondering if she'd been locked into the prison room. He'd be wondering if he should try to rescue her, or if he should go down the river by himself. She should be hurrying to join him, but a sadness held her back, like a heavy stone in her chest. She bent her face into the palms of her hands and pressed hard against her closed eyes. How could she go away from Ember and leave Poppy behind? Because if she went, she must leave Poppy behind, mustn't she? How could she take her on a journey of such danger? The song of the river startled her when it began. The men's voices, low and rolling, swelling with power. And then the women's voices, coming in above, with a complicated melody that seemed to fight the current. Lina listened, unable to move. The song of the river made her uneasy. It always had. With its rolling, relentless rhythm, it seemed to urge her onward, saying, "Go down, go away, go now." The more she listened, the more she felt something like the motion of the river in her stomach, a churning, sickening feeling. Then came the Song of Darkness, the last of the three songs, and the one most filled with longing and majesty. The soul of Ember was in this song. Its tremendous chords held all the sorrow and all the strength of the people of the city. The song reached its climax. "Darkness, like an endless night," sang the hundreds of voices, so powerfully, the air seemed to shiver. And at that moment, the lights once more went out. The voices faltered, but only for an instant. Then they rose again in the darkness, stronger even than before. Lina sang too. She stood up and sang with all her might into the deep, solid blackness. The last notes echoed and faded into a terrible silence. Lina stood utterly still. "Will it end like this?" she thought. "At the finish of the last song?" She felt the cold stone of the clock tower behind her back. She waited. Then an idea came to her that made her skin prickle. What if she were to shout into the silence right now? What if she were to say, "Listen, people, we found the way out of Ember. It's the river. We go on the river." She could announce the astounding news, just as she and Dune had planned to do, and then what would happen? Would the guards rush to the roof and seize her? Would the people in the square think her news was just a child's wishful thinking, or would they listen and be saved? She could feel the words pushing upward in her throat. She wanted so much to say them. She took a deep breath and leaned forward. But before she could speak, a rumble of voices arose below. Someone shouted, "Don't move!" and someone else shrieked. The rumble rose to a roar, and then cries flew into the darkness from everywhere. The crowd was erupting into panic. There was no hope of being heard now. Lina clutched the edge of the clock tower as if the tumult below might cause her to fall. She strained her eyes against the darkness. Without light, she could go nowhere. "Lights, come back on," she prayed. "Come back on." Then she saw something. At first, she thought her eyes were tricking her. She closed them tightly and opened them again. It was still there, a tiny point of light, moving. As she watched, it moved along slowly in a straight line. Then it turned and moved in a straight line again. Was it on River Road? She couldn't tell. But suddenly, she knew what it was. It was Dune with a candle. Dune going toward the pipeworks in the dark. And she wanted to go, too. She could feel it all through her, the urge to run and meet him and find the way out of Ember, to the new place. She listened to the shouts and wails of the terrified people in the square below. She thought of Mrs. Murdo, down there in the dark, being bumped and pushed, with her arms wrapped tightly around Poppy, trying to protect her. And all at once, everything seemed clear. Lina knew what she would do. If only the lights would come back on. If only this was not the very last blackout in the history of Ember. Watching the tiny light following its steady course, she made a wish with the whole force of her heart and mind. Then the floodlights flickered. There was a great cry of hope from the crowd, and the lights came on and stayed on. Lina ran to the back edge of the roof, dropped easily down onto the roof of the prison room, and, seeing no guards in the crowd that was now streaming into the street, she jumped from there to the ground and joined the throng of people. She made her way down Greystone Street, going at the same pace as everyone else so she wouldn't stand out. When she came to the trash can enclosure behind the gathering hall, she squatted down and hid. Her heart was beating fast, but she felt strong and purposeful now. She had her plan. As soon as she spotted Mrs. Murdo and Poppy on their way home, she'd put it into action.